From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first trading day of October the 3rd. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Senator Kent Conrad is developing a crop revenue guarantee program. It would make payments to farmers when their whole farm income drops, but not substantially. This week, the U.S. Senate will take up legislation aimed at nations deemed to be manipulating the value of their currencies, and finance ministers from Europe are convening to discuss Greece, this a day after that nation disclosed a bigger national deficit. Dave Dickey will have details of these and many other stories later in this half hour. And then as we close out our program, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby contracts, and all the contracts, in fact, and all the soft red winter wheat bit, were up substantially, 10.25 in the nearby December, 619.5 settlement price. The March at 657, up 10.5 in July of next year, 16 cents higher at $6.92.75. July of 2013, just by comparison, up 22 cents at $77.33.25 for the day. December corn futures, $5.92.5 unchanged today. March at 606, a quarter higher. May at 613.75, up a quarter. July corn, $6.19.25, unchanged. September, 4 cents higher at $5.90.5 for next year. In December of next year, 2012, at $5.62.5 a bushel, down 3.25. November beans, $11.77.5, a penny and a half lower. January at $11.88.75, down 3/4. The March at $11.98, a quarter lower. May futures, $12.05. That's up a half. July at $12.12.75, a quarter higher. In next year's November soybeans at $11.92.75, a penny and 3/4 lower. Bean meal at $3.03.20, down $1.50. Bean oil at $49.76, down 19 cents. Live cattle at $123.10, 95 higher. Feeders at $141, up 47.5. Hogs at $93.12.5, up 25 cents. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil, $77.21 a barrel, $1.98 lower. Ethanol at $2.50, up a penny and a half for the day. Natural gas at $3.61.7, down 4.9. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.75, 2.9 lower. And gold futures for the day at $1,656, $35.60 an ounce higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 10,688, just about 226 points lower. The dollar at 79.4, that's up 0.8. And the CRB index at 296.3, down 1.7 on the afternoon. The weather forecast from the National Weather Service says today we'll have sunny skies in the Urbana-Champaign area with a high of 75 degrees. North-northwest winds at about 9 miles an hour. Tonight it'll be clear and cool, a low of 43. Northeast winds between 3 and 7. Tomorrow, a bit warmer, a high near 77. Again, sunny sky. Southeast winds then at 3 to 5. And then Tuesday night, mostly clear, a low of 50 degrees. South-southeast winds at 6 miles an hour. Wednesday, sunny skies, a high of 78 degrees. South winds between 5 and 7. Wednesday night, clear, and a low of 53. Thursday, sunny skies, a high of 79 degrees. Thursday night, clear and 54. On Friday, sunny skies and a high of 80 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 55. Saturday, sunny and a high of 79. Saturday night, clear with a low of 56. And sunny skies will resume on Sunday with a high near 79 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. They are in Chicago, Illinois. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. We're joined to take a look at the agricultural futures markets by Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
How are you today?
Doing good. Thank you.
It's a beautiful day. Skies are sunny. I bet producers are happy and waving as they take their crop into the elevator or the bin, one of the two, at all the passerbys, but they'd like it to be worth more money. Do you think it will be in the near future?
Not in the near future as far as what they want. Coming off those highs has been really devastating. Corn virtually just $2 drop there. I don't think we're going to go back $2 anytime soon. I think we can have a so-called little recovery bounces, but you know, until we get through a chunk of harvest in here, it's going to be awful hard to get something exciting going to the upside. Or we got to give a more stable investment atmosphere out there. That crude's down, the Dow's down, investment confidence is back near zero again. So once we get through harvest and get investment confidence back together, I think we could start the healing process as we go into this winter, but we're not going to rally $2 in corn or $2 in bean. That being said, though, oftentimes, though, when we do break into harvest here, Todd, we do see some type of low here by Columbus Day holiday, and that is next Monday. So we'll see if that trend holds. On the corn count, if you look at the low from low, we've been running about a 15-16 week time period between low and low. This is week 13. So there's a few things coming together in here where hopefully we've taken most of the selling pressure off here as we get squared away going into harvest here.
What are producers telling you about their crops?
Man, it's just all over the place. Continue to hear corn on corn yield concerns, and I don't think that's going to go away. But two guys expecting 150 bushel, average 204. It's a pleasant surprise there. But it just varies tremendously from farm to farm. It's just going to take completing harvest to see where our average comes in at, because every horror story, there is a pleasant surprise on the other side. How you average that out, that's going to be some big task to accomplish, probably clear into next spring. On the beans, real pleasant surprise there in some areas. We've heard as high as 80 bushels on beans in some locations. A lot of the beans seem to be coming in this 50 bushel area. But yields are better than expected at this point, and the so-called fear is right now is maybe we've got some adjustments to the upside on the overall national yield.
When you talk to the producers, are they satisfied with storing the crop?
It depends where they're at. Producers got, man, they got different ideas for different situations they're in. Right now, producer selling's fairly well dried up. At this point in time, they're want to go ahead and meet previous sale commitments. For those who have bins, are in the mindset to go ahead and fill the bin at this point in time, feeling that basis will improve at least going into year end. So, at this stage of the game here, barring no economic disaster somewhere, I think producers are willing to be stores.
And do you think that's the right thing to do?
Yes and no. I feel that if one sold up, we're getting close to a point in time to start replacing cash sales. If you turn back the clock about 3 weeks, a lot of guys were frustrated, sold down here at these levels, and we're happy with that. Now we're back down to these levels here, so we're getting in the mode here to replace sales. So if we're in that mode, it does suggest that if one does store in through here, that we've got some upside here longer term down the road. But once again, we do not believe we're going to regain the $2 that we just lost here in the last month.
And basis remains tight or not?
Location, it varies. It's overall, compared to past history, is still relatively good. At these price levels, we have seen end users come forward to gather some more cash inventory. When you use the current cash grain prices around, ethanol is penciling out to some better margins. The livestock guys, your hog cattle, And poultry feeders are looking at more cushion to work with through here. So they were fairly well empty, and they're welcoming this price break in here to get some forward coverage on.
What do you think about the crop production report that's due out the 12th of this month?
That's a good question, Todd. And you're going to get a lot of different answers from a lot of different people. But it's going to be, once again, a delicate balancing act. It seems like every report's a major report, but we've got a lot of moving targets on this report. You've got acreage, you've got yield, you know, every aspect of the demand side of the equation's a floating target, too. But our best guess is that yield could probably be unchanged, maybe slightly higher. We're going to see a lower acreage, a harvested acreage number. When it all balances out, we feel that the ending stock carryout could be raised slightly on that report there, Todd.
Raised slightly above what the grain stocks calculated back in might be, or from the current WASD number, which is a couple hundred bushel, hundred million bushel lower than that.
Okay, obviously on the 2010 crop, it was probably underestimated, and you're going to see ending stocks on the 2010 corn carryout go up. And the 2010 bean ending stocks come down slightly. As far as the carryout for this current crop that the producer's harvesting right now, we feel that carryout could be raised up to close to that 900 million bushel benchmark, and the bean carryout probably left pretty close to unchanged.
And that's that 900, and I'm kind of aiming at something, that 900 million bushel carryout, that's enough to keep a couple bucks off of corn over the coming months?
Once again, there's a lot of moving targets. Man, you're getting awful tough on me. I thought I could slide to this one.
Hey, you know what? You know what it depends on? It depends on how much stuff I built into the system to play after you.
You're getting ready for the next guy, huh?
Yeah, no, well, I've got about 8 minutes on CD that's coming up. So we're done with our time. How about that? I'll let
you
out.
Hey, nice talking to you, Todd. Have a good day.
All right. Any other final word from you?
No, it's a dynamic market. We're going to have sharp ups and sharp downs. Hopefully we'll get the sharp down done here in the next week or two here, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much.
Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing market report on a Monday afternoon. Stay with us. We've got weather coming up, and we'll talk with the folks at the Andersons, too, about all of the basis things that are happening across this part of Illinois and around the Midwest.
Support for the closing market report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, Dave Dickey's here now. He'll bring us all the ag news for the afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
In agricultural news, Senate Budget Committee Chairman Kent Conrad is developing a crop revenue guarantee program that would make payments to crop farmers who experience shallow revenue losses in their whole farm incomes due to reduced yields, quality, and prices. The program would combine the programs and budget for the average crop revenue election program known as ACRE, the counter-cyclical program, and the supplemental revenue assistance program known as SURE. The plan also assumes that direct payments would be reduced by 50%. The new program would become effective for the 2013 crop year. The Senate this week will take up bipartisan legislation addressing trading partners' currencies. It would establish new reporting requirements for the Treasury Department to identify misaligned currencies and to authorize negotiations, work with multilateral institutions, and use U.S. anti-dumping authorities in response to deliberate manipulation. The bill has solid support in the Senate, but first 60 votes are needed to invoke cloture that will allow debate to proceed. Finance ministers from the 17 euro countries will grapple over Greece's ever-worsening debt crisis a day after Athens revealed its deficit will be higher than previously promised. Meeting the budget targets is a precondition for getting the next $10.8 billion installment of the country's bailout. Draft budget figures issued on Sunday showed the deficit would be 8.5% of gross domestic product this year, well above the 7.6% agreed in Greece's European Union International Monetary Fund bailout program, and 6.8% in 2012, short of the 6.5% goal because the economy will shrink further. The 17 Eurozone ministers will not take any action today on releasing the funds. They are set to decide at a special meeting on October 13th. Russia's powerful grain lobby, the Russian Grain Union, today raised its forecast for the country's exports on a better-than-expected crop. The lobby now estimates Russia's grain exports in the current 2011-12 crop year at 25 million tons compared to the previous estimate of 23 million tons. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both programs that you can find on our website at willag.org, on our mobile website at m.willag.org as well. You can find our other agricultural programming on both places, too. That's at m.willag.org for your mobile phone or willag.org for your regular computer. Now, up next, you know, the grain stocks report released last Friday is something of a mystery. I'll have more from the University of Illinois on why it doesn't seem to make sense. The grain stocks report is released each quarter of the fiscal year. It tallies, for the most part, how much of the previous year's harvest has been used and what's left to be used. Last week's number, the last one from last year's crop, was much bigger than anyone expected for corn, and it's pretty hard to figure out why, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
Well, I'm going to admit to a lot of confusion about that, Todd. Clearly, the number was a surprise to the trade and to me personally, and being surprised is not all that unusual, but typically you can go back and reconstruct where did we go wrong in anticipating the stocks number, and this time it's pretty hard to do.
For instance, take the livestock feeding numbers.
Corn feeding for the last half of the marketing year was on the surface, if you believe the reports, was extremely small, 35% smaller than last year. At the same time, we fed less wheat, and we fed about 5% less soybean meal. Livestock slaughter weights were equal to those of a year ago. More cattle in the feedlot, feeding more hogs. I just don't have an answer at this point how we produced as much livestock as we did with as little feed that the stocks number would imply.
Don't for a moment think those bushels of corn were offset by the ethanol DDG co-product. Those numbers, they don't add up either.
We had a small increase in DDGs year over year, but for the summer quarter, that was 3-4%. That really does not explain the drop in grain feeding. If you ran the numbers now, what you would be showing is a record low amount of grain feeding per grain-consuming animal unit for the 2010 marketing year. We produced a lot of livestock on very little grain.
Explained or not, the USDA grain stocks number is now in the system and will be added to this season's corn harvest for use over the coming months. The real question is whether or not livestock producers really can use so little corn to feed so many animals again next year. If it is true, then what looks like not a lot of corn to make it through the year might just be more than plenty. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County is on the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, did you believe me? Do you think it's more than plenty? I don't think I believe me, but...
More than plenty?
Well, you know.
There'll always be enough. We'll get the price to the point where we will have some left over. We always do.
Yeah, that's the question.
What price is that will cause a little bit to be left over?
Yeah, producers would like to know. You have an answer?
Get back to me in about 9 months. I should have an answer for you.
Okay, tell me about movement in the area, and I bet you've got both corn and beans coming in today.
Yes, the weather looks outstanding for the rest of the week. Beans started in earnest on Friday. Saturday and Sunday were big days, and it looks like all week we'll see a lot of soybeans being cut and a little bit of corn as well. The corn hopefully will start to dry down. We've had the corn being persistently in that 23 to 26% moisture range, but hopefully with some 75 to 80 degree days this week, we'll get the corn down into the low 20s, maybe even into the teens. And when the beans are done this week, we can switch right into corn and wrap this harvest up in good shape.
Are you making many new purchases just across the scale on beans today?
No. Bean and corn sales have come to almost a complete standstill, which is not surprising, you know, given the fact that we've dropped off almost $2 in corn and over $2 in beans over the last month or so. So farmers, I guess, are going to be content with the percentage of sales that they had on the books prior to this sell-off, and they're going to wait and see what happens as we get post-harvest and go into the acreage buying period between now and February.
Did you talk to Mommy about the numbers, the grain stocks figures last week? And there was some discussion that there might have been an awful lot of wheat that was imported that didn't show up on the books for some reason. Would you know that if that was the case?
I know a lot of traders were shocked that the wheat stocks number, you know, was as high as it was, because the thinking was that there was a lot of wheat that was fed, and the numbers, when you do the math, would not suggest that. So, you know, we've seen quarterly stocks numbers off before, so, you know, but this is what we have to work with until the next number comes out. So, it took a lot of people by surprise.
And then what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes at 587 unchanged. January delivery 594. Cash beans are 1150, down 2 cents. January 1164, and new crop wheat next year is 668.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on a Monday afternoon for the Closing Market Report. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy up on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building in Chicago, Illinois, for a look at the agricultural weather forecast in just 2 minutes.
It's National Caramel Custard Day. Ancient Roman cooks were the first to recognize the binding properties of eggs, and food historians generally agree that custard dates to the Middle Ages. By the way, in the last decades of the 19th century, custards were advertised as a health food. Bring on the chocolate pudding. It's also St. Clair of Assisi Day, patron saint of good weather. On this day in agricultural history in 1803, John Gorey was born. An American physician, he was an early pioneer in the invention of the artificial manufacture of ice, refrigeration, and air conditioning. In 1830, George Brayton was born. An American engineer, he invented the first commercial gas internal combustion engine, the principles which later became the basis for the turbine engine. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln declared that Thanksgiving Day would be an annual event celebrated on the last Thursday in November. In 1899, the first motorized vacuum cleaner was patented by John S. Thurman. And in 1941, the first aerosol can was patented by two U.S. Department of Agricultural researchers, L.D. Goodhue and W.N. Sullivan. They were looking for a way to apply oil-free insecticides in mushroom houses. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is on the phone line. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hi there, Todd. Good to be here.
Well, I bet you have just a magnificent view from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building. Can you see me waving today? Because it's going to be clear as a bell up there.
It does, yeah. But from our view, you can see the combines just going crazy here across areas of northern Illinois. Here, just kidding there. that's the pattern here with high pressure now in place across not only Illinois but the whole central and eastern U.S. That is the pattern all week long, and so that's going to result in totally dry conditions, sunny skies, warmer than normal temperatures for this time of year. Just a great week of harvest weather across the entire Midwest.
You know, I really kind of thought you might actually be able to see a dust plume or two coming out of the soybean field, but it would have been
you that squint.
Maybe with binoculars,
huh? These days.
it's a beautiful forecast for all of the Midwest. Is that right?
Yeah, it is, and even into the western sections of the Midwest. Even in Ohio here, which has been plagued by at least some lingering wetness here in the past couple of days with our closed low that affected the eastern Midwest last week, but they're now drying out. And so, yeah, you can even extend that down to the Delta portions of the southeast this week. And really the next chance of any rain in any section of the central U.S. is not until the upcoming weekend, and that would be in primarily portions of the hard red winter wheat belt, which that's one new piece of information here this week. Does look like some rain opportunities in portions of the hard red belt in areas of Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, eastern Colorado. You know, those areas here have seen a limited rainfall, especially Texas, Oklahoma, which have undergone severe or still in severe drought conditions. So it does look like some opportunities for rain across that area coming up again starting this upcoming weekend.
Is that because the big high pressure system is kind of going to drift off to the east coast, and we get a little warmer weather with that too, I think?
Yeah, we're building high pressure. It's actually going to be strengthening here over the eastern half of the country over the next several days. And there is a wave of low pressure that's going to be moving into the western U.S. Actually, it's bringing rain right now to portions of northern California and even down into possibly southern California over the next couple of days, which is pretty unusual for this time of year. But due to the unusual nature of it, we're going to have some unusual weather here, and that's it's much more positive here on our side with the warm temperatures and dry conditions.
And finally, a quick update on South America.
Yeah, we're seeing a significant rain develop across areas of Brazil. Now it looks like their rainy season is starting up, albeit a couple weeks behind schedule. But the fact that it's evolving right now, very beneficial here for the newly seeded crop. And same as for Argentina, it's an improving situation, although we still need to watch areas of the Western Belt, which have been the driest here lately, coming up.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
You have a great afternoon. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. You can always hear it again if you'd like on our website at willag.org, on your mobile phone at m.willag.org, or just by calling this phone number, at least parts of it, at 217-333-3434. We post a bit of analysis in the closing market numbers at about 3:15 each and every day. The opens come up at 10:15 each business day. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.